Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you brought your A-game. A-made, no rain, from the track when we unite and spit, this isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you brought your A-game. A-made, no rain.
Hey now, the Mike and JD show is back. We missed last week, but we are back now. I am your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as always by JD, by God Oliva. How you doing, JD?
Good, man. Wrestling season's in full swing. I was in Iowa this weekend with my high school team. We did not look great. We're young. We got a lot of freshmen and sophomores. They ain't ripe yet. They got a lot to learn. A lot of knuckleheads. And Andy had his first wrestling tournament of the year today. And he moved up an age division. It's always hard when you're younger side of the age division. He got a little nervous, lost his first one, kind of got his butt kicked. And then in his second, he actually wrestled a kid that beat him 2 years ago that kind of took him down at will. And he beat him 12-0 today. So I was really happy to see his growth, a lot of growth. And then he pinned the kid for his last match for third. So, pretty good first day, some stuff to learn. And the kid who won his bracket was pretty damn good. Only beat the kid that did he beat by 12 by 1 point. So I'm like, I try to tell him, like, dude, you're better than you give yourself credit for. So, we're learning, we're growing. I had fun with him today. I love what I do. I'm busy this time of year. How are you?
Good, man. Good. So we didn't do the show last week, because I'll be honest, I was so burnt. We spent the weekend in Charleston last weekend. And we went on a whim. I've never been there. And it just so happens that some friends that we made while we were stationed in Hawaii, they're from there, and they were there visiting family, and we're just like, well, let's just go. And I was like, I told my wife, I was like, I'm a huge Revolutionary War guy. I've been watching the Ken Burns doc. I'm still not done with it. It's super long, but several Revolutionary War sites were right there in Charleston. So I want to go check out some of those sites and go see some of the historic downtown area. And so we can go see my wife's friends, and the husband's actually a friend of mine too. We worked together quite a bit while I was stationed there. and our kids are friends. So we went down there and did that, stayed a full weekend, and that was cool. But by the time I got back, I was just so burned. I was like, I haven't watched anything wrestling. I don't know what's going on. I can't do the show. And so we skipped last week. And I didn't know I was traveling this weekend, but as it turns out, we had tickets to Jurassic Quest in Raleigh, outside the Dorton Arena. So it's a big, like, they have the big giant moving, like, rubber Jurassic Park dinosaurs there, and like kids can ride the dinosaurs and, like, you know, get pictures with them and all. It's like just like a, almost like a dinosaur convention. And they have like some of this is that they had some like some fossils there, but I got the feeling that those were not like legit fossils. It's like, I didn't want to like pass any judgment off on them, but it didn't matter to my kid. Like, she's, you know, she adores dinosaurs. She's very into Jurassic, all things Jurassic Park and all things dinosaurs. So much so that when I was in New York City earlier this year, my first day that I landed, I made sure to walk down to the Museum of Natural History and take pictures of all the dinosaur bones for her, just so she could see them. And I have, like, you know, did like a FaceTime with her with a T-Rex and all that. So, it was super cool. Raleigh's a really pretty town. If you've never been there before, I liked it up there.
So you got they had them working fossils out there, not the real fossils.
I believe they were working fossils. Look, I could be wrong. It was still worth the money just because my kids were happy. My son, he's only like, you know, he's a little over one. He loves dinosaurs. He likes to growl at them, and he was like sticking his hand in the mouths and stuff like that, and like he was getting really into it. So the kids had a freaking blast. I just wish it wasn't 3 hours away, but the kids had a blast. We ended up spending the night overnight and came back after lunch today. We had some lunch with some friends of mine. So good stuff. Great weekend, man. Go ahead.
No, I was just reading the chat.
Okay. Yeah. The chat there, some of these folks were a little bit lively. So we got the legacy in. I'll read your comment in a little bit. I just want to give you a shout out. Legacy, XWF's in the house, Lil Silva, and Rollerboy. And Rollerboy says, JD, Gunn finally gave us Supergirl teaser. About time. What's that all about, JD?
Well, they're dropping the Supergirl. We got a Supergirl movie coming out. Millie Alcott, who played, I forget, the blonde in the House of the Dragons when she was young. She's playing Supergirl in the new James Gunn Supergirl film featuring the former Aquaman. Other former Game of Thrones guy. Why can't I think of his name right now?
The Hawaiian guy?
I can't think of his freaking name. Jason something or the
Momoa.
I want to say Momoa. Thank you.
Yeah.
Jason Momoa is back, but he's playing Lobo now, which is much better casting. Are you familiar with Lobo, the main man?
No.
I think you would dig Lobo. You should check him out. If my computer was closer to me, I would Google a photo of Lobo and show him to you. So he's gonna be the villain in the new Supergirl movie. It's in the same continuity as this new Superman. I haven't seen the trailer yet because I was busy all weekend. I was traveling, so I will probably have a chance to sit down and look at it later. But I'm pretty stoked about it. I loved the new Superman movie that came out this year. I thought it was excellent.
Yeah, I dug the new Superman movie. It was the first one that I've really liked since I was a kid, I think. I thought the other ones were fine, but this one I actually just like really enjoyed. I did not watch any of the animated Superman movies, so I get the feeling that I'm gonna, now that I've admitted that, and if Finestone's listening, he's probably gonna DM me some Superman animated movies to watch, and I'll probably enjoy those. But yeah, I just was like an OG 1970s, 80s style Superman movie guy. Those are the ones I really liked.
Oh, the Christopher Reeve Superman movie. Yeah. It's classic. It's phenomenal. I did not like the Snyder stuff at all. I did not enjoy any of the Snyder films. I think Man of Steel has a lot of flaws in it. My buddy regular Scott and I always bicker about that one. He's a big Man of Steel guy. He enjoyed it quite a bit. I was not a fan. So I really like this one a lot. I hope I hope it continues because the news kind of relates to that.
Yeah. Yeah, since we're talking about DC and Superman, let's go ahead and get into our top story tonight. And I know you guys would think that the TNA stuff would be our top story. I've covered it in depth already, but we're going to talk about it again. So if you're here for TNA stuff, trust me, it's coming. Don't worry about it. We're going to talk about their TV deal because JD has yet to speak publicly on it, so we want to get his thoughts. But Netflix has agreed to acquire the Warner Brothers Entertainment assets from Warner Brothers Discovery. in a major consolidation move announced on December 4th, earlier this week. This follows WBD's plan to separate its businesses, spinning off its global networks division into a company called Discovery Global, expected in quarter three of 2026. The deal positions Netflix as a dominant player in streaming and content production, combining its global reach with... That's not like I'm reading a fucking PR. All right. Let's get to the bones of it. What is Netflix acquiring? Netflix is specifically acquiring Warner Brothers, which includes film and television studios, streaming service HBO Max. It has about 128 million subs. The premium cable network HBO, and then iconic franchises and libraries such as Harry Potter, the DC Universe, a la Batman and Superman, Game of Thrones, and various other movies. Notably, Netflix is not acquiring WBD's cable networks or other assets, including CNN, TNT Sports, HGTV, yada, yada, yada. These will form the separate publicly traded Discovery Global company. The acquisition will expand Netflix's U.S. production capacity, boost original content investment, and add to its existing 420 million plus global subscribers. Netflix has stated it intends to maintain Warner Brothers' current operations, including theatrical film releases, which that was a controversial thing. I got all the details about how much they're paying for it, but I think the big shock was that Paramount ended up losing out on the deal. We thought they were shooing this fucking cat. We thought they were shooing. I gotta get dude. He opened my door. What's that?
I said, your cat opened. I said, what's this wee shit about Paramount? I believe that a month ago I came on this show and said I don't think this is gonna happen. Like we talked about it the first week when Paramount put out that big press release saying the new Paramount. By the way, this is the Ellisons who acquired Paramount over the summer. And made it known they wanted to acquire Warner immediately. And I was like suspect on it. It didn't smell right to me because it was coming specifically from the Ellisons, and we weren't hearing anything on the Warner side. And the next day, Zaslav came out and just said their bid's too low, and like didn't even entertain it. Didn't usually when you're in like when you talk to somebody, you're like, we're going to see how things play out. You know, it's too early to tell. You kind of dance around it. Zaslav made it clear from jump that he was not interested in doing business with the Ellisons. Like, and he just said, he straight up said the bid's too low. And he's been talking to other partners. Comcast was a player in this. Now, what's been interesting is the Ellisons, when I say the Ellisons, I'm talking about Paramount Skydance. They have made it known that they were going, if this wasn't going to work, they were going to go to a hostile takeover. They were talking about just buying out all the shares from the board. And I don't think the board wants that either because they went with this Netflix thing. And now Zaslav has said from jump that he wants to spin this off. And people are saying, well, what the Ellisons really want is CNN. And I agree with that. I think they do want that. But that's not what Zaslav wanted to do. He wanted to separate the two companies. Right. So the Ellisons can still make their play for CNN in time. I don't think that. But whilst the younger Ellison, whose name I forget, his first name I forget, he was really interested in spearheading this AI film thing. Right. And for me, this is JD Oliva talking personally. I don't like the idea of losing a player. My cousin Dan is a member of the Directors Guild of America. He's busted his ass on film sets for 20 years now. He was really nervous about Netflix picking this up specifically because of they fear in the industry is that it will take films out of theaters. That's their big fear, right? A lot of these people that work on movies believe that movies should be seen in theaters. I like going to the theater. I love going to the theater, but at the same time, like, they make it really hard to go to the theater. Like, going to the theater is really expensive now. And until Hollywood and theaters address that, I'm just not going to shed tears for these people.
When we go to the theater, it has to be like a real special occasion.
It does.
Because you got to take out a small business loan just to get popcorn and those things, you know.
Now, for me, I'm more interested in protecting the legacy of Superman than I am worried about the future of AEW. It's just reality. The idea of the Ellisons doing AI films with Superman and Batman, it breaks my heart. So if the fact that Netflix, who does produce really great content, like we're talking, I just got Netflix Black, Stranger Things is back. Like, the fact they're going to have a full arm underneath them, I'm okay with. Like, I know a lot of people are very, very upset with this, but I'm going to be real with you guys. Warner Brothers has had a shit ton of ownership since Jack Warner sold it to Seven Arts in 1967, right? Yeah. Kenny National Services bought it in 69. Kenny National Services owned a garage company, man. That's where they came from. They're a parking deck company. They owned it till 1989 when they sold it to Time Magazine, right? So Time Incorporated bought it. And then AOL bought it. Remember the AOL Time Warner merger? Not to mention the merger with Turner that occurred at the same time. So, I mean, like, and then AT&T, of course, bought it in 2018, and then Discovery in 2022. So, I mean, this is kind of like part of the course. And I've said this before on the show. I just lost my camera. Give me a second. Sorry, I don't know what happened.
You lost your camera.
I did lose my camera. Hold up. Sorry about that.
You just got to select. It went off of camo camera. You got to reselect it.
Oh, God damn it. Give me 1 second. Sorry about that.
Sorry, guys, this is bad radio. Yeah, so basically what JD was getting at is that they have sold this thing time and time again, and so Netflix would just be the next company in line to own it. They are going to face some legal hurdles because, you know, the Ellisons are buddy-buddy with Trump, and Trump right now obviously runs the federal government. And for a merger like this to occur, it has to get approval by the FCC, right? Or no, whatever, FEC. I think it's SEC, something like that. I'm not a finance guy.
Federal Trade Commission.
You would think I would be a finance guy considering my current job, but I don't know the legal ramifications of all this stuff. But.
Now, Trump's trying to make it out like he's got the final say on all this, and he really doesn't. But he's going to try to influence as much as possible. The problem is there's a lot of problems in the federal government right now. And a lot of what certain people are trying to, the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, a lot of what he is doing is not very popular. So, but that being said, he could throw a monkey wrench because he's advocated that the fact that he says Netflix is going to have too big of a share, when at the same time, he wants Paramount to merge with Warner Brothers. Like you're talking about, two old school, like, you know, titans of the business. Like Netflix is at least has a different business model, right? It's going to be interesting. This isn't done deal. This is why, like, the conversation of what does this mean for AEW, like, nobody fucking knows. Nobody has any clue. This might not even, the reality is Netflix, not a dollar has been exchanged. This is all like in plans. Like, it has to get approved. Like, this is all so in the infant stages, but the fact the Ellisons are bitching publicly tells you that it's not good for them.
Yeah.
Right. There's going to be a lot of roadblocks and hurdles, as there was to AOL, as there was to, when Discovery did this. Now, what's interesting is that when, Sinclair tried to purchase WGN a couple years back, that wasn't approved by the Trump people. So that is interesting. So there is some precedent that perhaps this does not go through, but one would think that it should. It's going to be an interesting 6 months to year to see how this plays out, because it's not supposed to actually happen till the fall of 2026. So, like, we're super early in this process, and like I said, to even start thinking about what this means for wrestling is like we're so far away from that point.
What I need to educate wrestling fans on is that the wrestling component of this is such a minuscule component to the entire deal. Like, neither one of these companies, I know Netflix spent a lot of money on Raw, but I don't think Netflix gives one shit about AEW. And honestly, they probably would have much rather have Raw pay-per-view or WWE pay-per-views versus the Raw television show. This is so much bigger than wrestling. It's not really a huge part of this. The only way it would affect AEW at this point, because Netflix is not purchasing the cable networks, they're purchasing HBO Max, which is a secondary component to AEW's TV deal. And if they did, you're also assuming that HBO Max would eventually just like go under and all content would be moved to Netflix, and that Netflix would not be operating both streaming services independently of each other, which we don't know any of that yet. But if they did, again, that is the smallest part of their deal with Warner Brothers Discovery. The TV deal is where they make most of their money. So at this point, it's not going to have any real effect. It's going to take a while for this to go through. We're looking probably towards the end of 2026, and the beginning of 2027 is when it would start to change. Now, that does come into question whether or not you know, AEW's next TV rights negotiation, which I believe is done in 2027. Could it have an impact on that? We don't know. So for everybody to say that it's absolutely going to have an effect, I said it's not going to have any impact at all as of right now, because the deal is not due until 2027. So I don't really think this is like a huge impact on AEW. And Tony Khan was asked about it, and I thought he answered the question pretty well. He's like, well, we have a relationship with Netflix, and we have a relationship with WBD and Paramount and all these companies, especially with our partnerships with the NFL. So no matter what happens, I think we're going to be fine. And he's right. I think they're going to be fine either way. I don't think this is really going to be a detrimental thing at all.
Well, yeah, TNT and TBS are going to stay with Discovery. So yeah. whatever happens with Discovery is really, CNN is the crown jewel of that. So like, it's going to be super interesting.
Which is wild, because that station is a dump. It's like, it has fallen on such hard times, but I think they just want to be able to control the narrative in the media. I think that's what it's about for the Ellisons.
That's exactly what the Ellisons want it for. They want to be able to control CNN and turn it into another Fox News. And all that's going to do is just kill CNN, right? Because the people who watch CNN intentionally don't watch Fox News, but they want to create another like Newsmax, like just to make the Trump people happy. So whatever, all they're going to do is just run CNN into the ground, and no one's going to care. They're going to compete directly with Fox News, and then, you know, they'll fight over who Dear Leader loves more. That being said, that is where AEW is. What it could affect is if HBO Max goes away, then they don't have a streaming platform. However, you can still buy your AEW pay-per-views on Amazon Prime. So I want you to I want you to think about that for about a minute and figure out that Tony Khan has been lining up a plan for quite some time as to what to do in case that streaming deal falls apart. So I don't foresee it being a problem. And streaming, dude, let's be real. Over the last year, we have seen the complete collapse of streaming. Right. We should touch on Freddie Prinze Jr.'s report, which everybody's saying is pretty real, about ESPN not being thrilled with where the WWE pay-per-views are doing right now.
JD, let me correct you. WWE said that what Freddie said wasn't true.
Oh,
we got to throw it all out.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave disputed that, of course. Of course they said that. I mean, but realistically, do the math. Like the ESPN app isn't doing, we wouldn't know because nobody reports any numbers, but how many WWE fans have said, I'm not doing this. Like the WWE has educated their fans for more than a decade that their shows cost $10 or less.
Yeah.
And now they've told them over the last 6 months, no, they're $30 a month.
Dude.
So there's a lot of people fighting back who aren't liking that.
Yes. Yeah, I was a day one WWE Network guy, right? Because mainly because I wanted the archives, and I subscribed all the way up until they went to Peacock, and then for the first time ever, I subscribed to Peacock, and then I was a Peacock subscriber all the way until they went to ESPN, and I am not paying $30 for WWE for the ESPN Unlimited, so I'm just not doing that, and I'm not really like a WWE guy, but I just felt like having the archives and stuff was important. I just really enjoyed the archives. Now they're putting them on the vault, and I can watch new WWE in different ways. So I don't need to worry about that. And I'm just holding out because I'm a YouTube TV guy. I should be able to get it with my cable package here pretty soon. So I'm holding out for that. So I'm just like not watching WWE pay-per-views right now.
The fact, and I don't think. It seems to be not a lot of people are as much as they were hoping. It seems like this isn't really working. I think we've kind of seen that the a la carte streaming deal, we've been talking about this for a good year plus on this show, the a la carte streaming thing might be done. We might be moving into a streaming platform service where everything kind of exists on one or two streamers, right? This whole thing where every network needed their own streaming app is failing across the board.
Yeah.
You know, we've maxed out, especially now we're in an economic downturn. People are struggling to pay their bills. The first thing that gets cut is, you know, well, do I need Paramount Plus? Like, do I need all this other stuff? And the answer, most of it is no, you don't. Mm-hmm. Like what has advantages? Amazon Prime. That's got a huge advantage. Netflix has huge numbers because they've been around forever. Disney has pretty good numbers because they're Disney. And then after that, everything kind of Comcast, everyone gets Peacock with Comcast. So I mean, after that, it's kind of hit or miss. Like, and people are starting to cut again. People are not cutting the cord, but cutting the stream, you know?
Yeah. I'm about to cut HBO Max again, just cause I have cable and I can just like DVR AEW shows and DVR. I'm a big Expedition Unknown guy. So I can DVR Expedition Unknown. I don't need to go to the HBO Max. And other than Superman, the animated series, I'm not really watching anything else on that platform. Not that it's a bad platform. I just need to cut down on my expenses.
No, exactly. Like the only thing I'm doing right now in HBO is AEW Live. And I've been hit or miss, very hit or miss on that lately, but yeah. I keep it around because we're a big movie. You know, I'm showing my kid all the movies, you know, we're going through like all, you know, educating him. We watched True Lies last night. Great.
Nice.
Holds up really well too. Quite enjoyed it. So I stick with that, but we just picked up, I was off Netflix for like more than a year, if not closer to two. Like we got it back in because I want to finish Stranger Things. So that's kind of how you go. You buy these things when you're watching something and you get rid of them. Like I don't have cable. I cut cable over a decade ago. So I don't know. Like this is, this is where we're in a weird place where people are just making choices. And when you're asking $30 per month for customers, because you think you can, it's very tone deaf economically. And I think there's a lot of these big companies are being very tone deaf economically right now. And I think WWE is going to find themselves in rougher positions trying to fill arenas because like they're not in trouble right now. But if you look across the board, stuff is going down. And part of that is because they're pricing them so freaking high.
Dude, like they're running the Spectrum Center in Charlotte and it's going to be on a Friday night SmackDown, I think in February. And my cousin and I were talking about going, and the get-in price for a Friday Night SmackDown is like $120, like top of the like nosebleed seats. Dude, that I work next to the Spectrum Center. I park at the same parking garage as the Spectrum. That's where the Charlotte Hornets play. I am not spending $120 for nosebleeds. $120 down in the middle section where I have better view, I'm willing to do that. Look, I'm doing well financially. I ain't poor. I'm a cheap ass, big difference, right? And I am not spending $120 on nosebleed sections for a show that I probably wouldn't be that interested in. But my cousin and I haven't went to a wrestling show together since we were kids. So I was like, that'd just be fun. And it's like at work. So I can just literally go into work, eat dinner, and then walk across the street to the Spectrum Center. So I $120 for a SmackDown is crazy to me. So
and it's well, you're in a you think about your position. You say you it's for you, it's right, it's where you work, like you're there, right? However, not just you, you're not just talking $120 getting, you're talking like another 40 on top of it for service fees,
yeah,
right? And then you got for most people, you got to pay to park, and then if God forbid you want a beer, you know, like. All these kind of little things or a drink or a, you know, some popcorn, you're talking about dropping $300 for one person by the time you get out. Like this is not, these are not good. Like this isn't like economically viable. Like I know they said, we're just going to max out. We don't care. You know, Vince McMahon used to cater to families. We're not doing that anymore. And I'm like, I think that's so, I mean, I get it. TKO got to make that money. Cause I don't think this conglomeration is going to last. I think it's going to spin off pretty quick. You're shooting yourself in the foot. Cause I mean, like if kids can't get into the building to watch the shows, where's your fan base coming from? You know, it's like, I question it. I really, really do. Cause I know WWE thinks it's the NBA now, but their business is very cyclical and time has proven again and again that the pro wrestling business is very cyclical. When it's hot, things are good. When it's not, things are just okay. You know?
Yeah.
So like I don't think pushing people into the it's just okay route is a good move, especially when we are facing economic downturn. Like we can, I know people are out there saying, oh no, everything's fine. When you've got people going on the aforementioned Fox News telling people, you know, grandma doesn't need a Christmas gift this year. You know, this is not, it's very tone deaf for these companies to be charging what they're charging right now.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And something's got to be done about Ticketmaster, dude. I couldn't imagine.
Hey, man, Pearl like, Jam tried to warn us in the 90s, man. Pearl Jam sat there and tried to fight against it, and nobody wanted to listen to him. So those guys figured that shit out 30 years ago, and here we are.
Yeah, they did. They tried to fight against Ticketmaster, and now, lost. Yeah, they lost. So And I think Kid Rock tried to do the same thing, fight against Ticketmaster, and I think he lost. And so now everybody's just like, look, it's either it's Ticketmaster or bust, and Ticketmaster owns Live Nation, or Live Nation owns Ticketmaster, the same company. Mm-hmm. So you could try to run access arenas, but though they only have so many venues around the country, it's probably not going to do you very well. You got to go through the Live Nation location.
Mm-hmm. Especially all decent sized arenas are Live Nation. Actually, like I said, access arenas are smaller locations. Like it just,
yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super hard. Let me get to the chat and then we are going to discuss TNA's TV deal. Let's see. King of the North sends us a super chat. He says, Mike, congrats to your new TNA International champ.
Stacks.
Channing Stacks Lorenzo.
Hasn't that guy been in NXT since they were the Rainbow Show? Isn't that back in like 2021?
I'll be honest. The first Stacks match I watched was Final Resolution.
So I only know who Stacks is because I know he was working with Tony D'Angelo. To me, yeah. He's always gonna be Joey Areola. Like, yeah. Like I that guy's been there forever, and I think Joey's been there forever too. Now, like,
yeah.
NXT's become hell. You don't leave there.
Yeah, I'll talk about it during the Final Resolution thing. I'll get my opinion out on the Stacks thing. But needless to say, I'm not very impressed by Stacks. But there is a storyline that TNA is telling that I don't completely hate. So we'll get into that. So and then he sends another super chat. Says JD, my sister got me a copy of Gaijin for Christmas. Hell yeah!
Hope you enjoy. I get a lot of good reviews on that book. I'm very proud of that one.
For sure. Let's see. Trump got us Rush Hour back, I guess. Yeah, they're coming out with Rush Hour 3. So
cool.
I liked the first two. I thought they were great.
I liked the first one a lot, actually. Yeah. But that was in 1998. Jackie Chan's like 70.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. He says, do you see more DC and AEW or WWE crossovers with the new merger between WBD and Netflix? If all those characters go to Netflix, which is what it's looking like, I think for sure you would see some WWE crossover with that to come 2027 when the deal goes through.
You're getting AEW right now.
Full Gear
was just sponsored by DC Comics. DC's running their great KO storyline right now. It's awesome. Love it. Everything DC Comics is doing right now is really hitting me. Like the Absolute line is great. Absolute Batman might be the best book in comics right now. Mm-hmm. DC's done a bunch of AEW stuff. So like, I don't know if you'll have that with WWE yet because it's different. We got to see what happens. You know,
John Cena's in a DC series. I know he's not going to be wrestling past next week, but he'll still be a part of WWE. So there's going to be, there will be crossover. James Gunn has a man crush on Dave Bautista, by the way, which, like, why wouldn't he?
Yeah, I do too. Like, it's fine. Dude,
I saw a video the other day of Batista getting his black belt in jiu-jitsu. He's like 60 and he just shredded during the ceremony. He's put your gi on when you're going through the ceremony. No reason for you to be topless, Dave. I know you're shredded, but put the gi back on. But he went through the walk where he got his black belt and they all hit him with belts and stuff. So that was a pretty cool ceremony. But I was like, God, Dave, why are you so shredded? You're like 60 years old, man. Go to retirement.
No, he's good. He's fine. He looks great at 62. He's got that lean muscle now. He's not like obscenely juiced out. He's looking lean and good. And he's the best wrestler turned actor ever, right? We're on green wig. We can all agree on that, right? He's like John Cena's showing a lot of potential.
I really like John Cena. Did you ever see I know Peacemaker's great, but did you ever see his movie Cock Blockers? It was fantastic.
I mean, that's a comedy. Like Dave Bautista has shown range. Like he can play different types of characters like that. Honestly, I mean, I'm in the John Cena's career is cute mode right now. Dave Bautista is like a real actor. Like he's a better actor than The Rock. Like The Rock is The Rock. But I mean, Dave's in like real movies, real directors cast Dave Bautista and stuff. He was in fucking Dune for God's sakes.
Yeah. No, he's great. Let's see. King of the North. How do y'all feel about people saying Netflix would opt out of this money losing deal with WWE and renew AEW on Netflix, which would cost much less to them? I think that AEW hardcore fans are really, really trying to talk that into existence.
That never happens. I've heard this a million times that people are going to like, do I think that a lot of these deals will wind up not working out great for the people to sign them? Yep. I think Netflix might be one of them. Do I think they're going to opt out? Now they have this ridiculously long contract that does have multiple renewal periods. It's a 5-year, like it's a 15-year deal. It's a 5-year deal with a lot of options in there.
I could see them opting out at the 5-year mark.
I could see that happening.
Not like any time before that, though.
No. Would they go with WWE? I don't know. I heard that with Fox too, and that never happened. So that's gonna, now when that happens, we got to see where AEW's business is in four years, which, you know, 4 years in the wrestling business is a long time. Like 4 years is the difference between, think about WCW in 1982 and 1996. Right, you're talking about a completely different company at that point. Same with WWE or WWF at that point. So, I mean, like, I don't know. I think it's too early to even like flirt with those ideas.
Yeah, he goes on to say rebrand Triller TV to watch AEW or something. So he's suggesting that Tony Khan buy Triller TV. I think the best thing for Tony Khan is to sell the rights to his stuff. But he does have Watch AEW. Like he did come out with a trademark for that. See, Raleigh boy, speaking of USC Paramount, woohoo, yeah, that's starting up here pretty soon. They got a big card coming up in January. I'm looking forward to that. Let's see. Awesomeness says, Mike, didn't you get WrestleMania 40 tickets for $100? Yeah, I think so. I you know what? It might have been closer to 200. And then also I went to the WrestleMania 32 and it was like around the same price. Right now the buy-in for a WrestleMania show is probably 500.
But that's WrestleMania as compared to just an average ass SmackDown.
Yeah, SmackDown. Yeah. Well, I think he's saying like he's agreeing with me that it's crazy that I would pay $120 for SmackDown when I paid $100 for WrestleMania.
Yeah, I gotcha. That's what I'm talking about. Like we're in such a weird place right now with where I don't want to turn my commie button on, but I mean like the fact that what people think that things should be spent and the fact that there's people that are struggling right now to pay their bills is just, it's obscene to me.
Yeah. All right. Last, before we get to our next topic, says, how do you guys feel about Gunther facing Cena next week instead of LA Knight? I mean, look, Cena wanted to face the younger stars. Now, Gunther is not exactly a spring chicken, but he's younger than most people on that roster. And I think he's a guy that WWE is really getting behind. They're never going to get behind LA Knight as a top guy. LA Knight is a cute upper mid card performer that can sell t-shirts, but he's never going to be a tippy top guy. Gunther is world champion material. Triple H is absolutely infatuated with that guy. Of course they're going with Gunther. That's the match to make, not LA Knight. It makes no sense at all to go with LA Knight. And I'm actually looking forward to watching John Cena versus Gunther. I think they're gonna have a heck of a match.
Are people okay? My initial core reaction is I don't give a fuck, but then I'm gonna think about this now because like people care about opinions. Are we really trying to say that we would rather see an LA Knight match, an Eli Drake match, than Gunther / Walter? Are we on crack? What are we talking about here?
Yeah. Come on. No, there's in no world. And look, Eli Drake has always just been cosplaying as Stone Cold, as cosplaying as The Rock. And he's even got a little bit of John Cena in his arsenal as far as his moves go.
Got over on which.
Yeah, look, if you're going to steal from people, I guess you're going to steal from the biggest stars ever. So I don't got any hate towards the guy. I just don't think he's improved a lot since he's been in the WWE, but I don't think he's particularly great. Gunther is great. Here's the thing is who wins. And I think I'm pretty sure I'm with John Cena on that. I think I agree with Alvarez. John Cena should go out as like winning like Sting did. So,
yeah, probably. I don't know. I'm of two minds on the subject. Part of me says pro wrestling tradition is, you know, you go out on your sword or you go out on your shield.
Yeah.
Right? I think there's value in Gunther being the guy that retired John Cena. Do I think they'll do that? Probably not. I don't think Triple H is creative enough to do something like that. So it's probably going to be John Cena.
Yeah. Well, so that's typically what WWE does. Yeah. Like every top guy that's ever retired in WWE, they always lose on the way out. I think Tony Khan, whenever he did the Sting angle, I think he set a precedent that the huge babyface goes out winning. And yeah, so, but it was a tag. I, That was such a cool moment in one of the greatest shows ever. I could see them wanting to replicate that with Cena.
I get what you're saying, but John, the Sting thing is different because it was a tag match and because Darby Allin is the guy that has been, like, Darby Allin's been a top player because of his association with Sting in AEW, right? So, I mean, like, you can headline any pay-per-view with Darby Allin, yeah. And that's because of his association with Sting. So while Sting didn't put over the guy, his association puts over the next guy. This is a singles match, you know? I don't know. I'm of the mind that you should put Gunther over, but you're probably right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I legitimately don't know what's going to happen with that match. And I think that makes it more interesting. So, which you typically, when you're watching WWE, like, you know exactly what's about to happen. So
why did WWE internet fans, I see this in the chat, why did WWE internet fans hate Gunther? Or are they just like, they do.
Is he a heel? I don't know that they do. I don't know why they would. I thought everybody loved Gunther. So
I mean, we're just talking about the people at the shows. Like, good, they should hate Gunther. He's a heel. Like, don't we want our heel versus babyface match for John Cena? I mean, that's what John Cena is. That his whole career has been against, you know, the good guy against the bad guy. I mean, why would we want to have babyface versus babyface for his final match? It doesn't make any sense.
No, you're gonna want the big. Look, John Cena single-handedly killed Osama bin Laden. You're going to want the big foreign heel to face John Cena in his final match. I mean, John Cena pretended to be a Marine for 20 years. You know, you got to have Gunther in that match.
He's almost as bad as Sergeant Slaughter in that regard.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's get to our next topic. If you want to talk about TNA on AMC, go ahead and drop us a chat. But JD, before I do, God, this fucking hat. This hat's not gonna cut it. It's giving me itchy. Hold on, I gotta get a new hat on. Hold on, don't laugh at my hairline, everybody.
You didn't.
I gotta get a new hat on.
You fucking son of a bitch.
What?
You bought a Carlos Silva hat.
A Carlos Silva trucker hat.
Wow.
With my podcast money.
Speaking of cosplaying, you're cosplaying Carlos Silva.
Hey, you know what, JD?
Holy shit.
I bought this hat for you, for that motherfucker, the King of the North, for all the non-believers. All the non-believers. I bought this hat for you because you guys were saying for years that TNA was not going to get a TV deal, and I kept saying it was going to happen. In 2024, at the end of the year, I said they're going to get a TV deal in 2025, and I also called the number. I said $10 million, and guess what? $10 million is what they got.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober. Or get pulled over, paid for by NHTSA.
I've been saying it for a long time. This was going to happen. And all the non-believers, JD, King of the North.
I'm a firm non-believer.
Way to have our back, Joe Lanza, Rich Kreisch, other guys, Odd Jobs, and the Voices of Wrestling Discord. You guys doubted me, and I got them a TV deal done. Well, okay, Carlos did, but...
I want to remind you that we have a gift floating around that says TNA to the CW. So,
yeah,
you know, we weren't right about that one.
No, I thought it was going to be the CW for sure. And then, I'm still so mad at myself because did I ever show you the text that I got? It was on September 23rd.
You said like 10 times you'd send it to me. And you never sent it to me.
Okay, yeah, I'll send it to you, and I'll crop out the person that sent it to me. But it was September 23rd, AMC, and I didn't really like. I was like, you know what? There's so many TV networks at the time were flying around that they could have gone to. I was like, AMC doesn't make any sense. They don't even have sports. You know, it's like they have old school movies and premium movies, and like upper scale television shows. Like that's where Mad Men and Breaking Bad and Walking Dead, like top notch television shows have been on for a long time. Right now, it's just spinoffs of those series for right now. It's a big network, man. It's a top 30 network, and it's got a pretty good viewership. And this is huge for TNA. It's insane.
Yeah, it's a massive deal for them. I mean, the money is pretty good for TNA.
Somebody asked the question. Hold on, confirmed they got 10 mil. That is not confirmed. That was just a report from Blake Avignon that they got 30 million. And then I was listening to another podcast, and they were doing some funky math, and they said it looks like they're getting 10 million over 3 years. I don't know if that's confirmed. I read the Variety article and I read the Hollywood Reporter article, and that's usually where you would get that information. And Carlos Silva has refused to answer the question, so it might even be less. So I don't know. But I was in a rant, and so I just fucking threw the number out there. So give me a break.
I think it's probably less. But it's still like, dude, this is a company that we started covering when they were on Twitch. Those early days, like I remember we did the first AEW TNA crossover was our first show, and most people watched it on Twitch back then. Like I remember when you had to get the Pursuit channel to get TNA Impact. Like this is a massive step up for this company. Like much like my herpes, it just won't go away, and it always shows up again. You think you've got them beat, and you think you've got it figured out, and then you had a wrestling tournament, and boom, it fucking fires up on your lip. Like I have nothing but respect for what TNA Impact has been able to do the last couple of years. I don't love that they're a feeder for WWE anymore, but I think now they've got this TV deal, they can start really trying to carve out their own identity again. Yeah. I think it's going to be very important. I do wonder, because back in the day, you'd want like synergy among your network. Like you want to make sure the same, which is a problem with pro wrestling, has always been the problem with pro wrestling on TV is that pro wrestling fans come to show up, they watch pro wrestling, and they don't stick around for anything else. Mm-hmm. So it was always, and this goes back to, you know, the 80s and 90s. And this is still true. Cause I don't know what's on AMC anymore. This is like, it's not the AMC of now is not the AMC of 10 years ago.
No.
Like, and that's fine. That gives TNA the opportunity.
The thing I love the most is everybody always name drops Breaking Bad. That show ended in 2013, mm-hmm. but it's been 12 years. It's my favorite show ever. It's one of the greatest shows in the history of television. So I get why it still gets name dropped, but it hasn't been on the air in 12 years.
That's like going to NBC, you know, they show Friends, you know, the show ended 20 years ago. Like it's very similar. Like, but it doesn't, I wonder, I think where this happened because, you know, AMC isn't what it used to be. Like the Walking Dead franchise isn't what it used to be. And now they have some more flexibility on the work to try things and to experiment. The issue is that the TNA fan base will not stick around for anything else. But to be fair, the AEW fan base doesn't stick around for anything else on TNT, and the WWE fan base has never stuck around for anything else on USA. Like, this is just wrestling. And if you're cool with it, great. I found it interesting. Matt Hardy made some interesting comments about how TNA will focus on not having five-star matches. But that's really, because that's AEW's thing, and that they're really good at that. So we're trying to carve a bunch of fans who are really invested in the storyline, stuff like that. I get what he's saying in theory. I think the problem is there's another company that's better at that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What do you think?
My problem with what he was saying is that he makes it seem like it's either or when you can actually have both.
It's not hard.
You can have great stories that lead to great matches. Right. And that's when you got both. The problem with him saying it is he's saying it because he can't have five-star matches anymore.
Yes.
Right.
Like, when Matt Hardy says great stories, the problem is he's talking about his shit, you know. Yeah. And I don't know if those are great stories. Like, and I maintain this, that a lot of fans confuse stories for beats. Like a story, I'll say this again, I say this on the show every time it comes up. A story, according to Robert McKee, the author of author of the book Story, you have a character. Character has a goal. Stuff is in his way. That is a story. Character pursuing a goal. So why wrestling works so well with the idea of story. Now, beats are what happens to a character on the way toward achieving said goal. So people think that the beats is actually the story. It's not. I think one of the best stories in pro wrestling over the last 20 years has been Okada and Omega in New Japan, where you had this guy who came in who had to basically, Kenny Omega basically had to remake himself and turn himself into something he wasn't to try to achieve all his goals. And no matter what he did, he just couldn't beat Okada, right? That was the story for a long time until he finally did. And it was like a 3-year progression. That's a great story. But because, you know, we don't have, you know, magic and mystery and like all kinds of like, you know, accoutrement, the beats, like those particular beats are people focus on. So like, oh, that's a bad story. It's like, no, it's not. It's actually a really good story. Like, and I don't know, like, and I enjoy the Hardy shit. I do, but I wouldn't say that what they do is tell good stories. They tell good stories in the ring because people get invested in them. Yeah. But all the other bullshit that surrounds them, I don't think is good storytelling.
No, I completely agree with what you're saying. I just don't think Matt knows what a real story is. I think he's talking about a story in the context of what he does. And really, every time he does, he's going to go back to the Broken Universe, and that got over in 2016. So, mm-hmm. And I think everybody, you know, pretty much enjoyed that. Even the people that shit on it were like probably having fun watching it, right?
It was so unique at the time, yeah. Right? What they were doing in 2016 was crazy innovative. Like, it wasn't like great, but it was fun, right? Yeah. And the problem is it's been bastardized by other people and them so many times. Like, the idea of the cinematic match became a thing because of them. And the problem with Matt Hardy is that he treads back on it, and every time he tries to get outside of it, it doesn't work, and then he has to go back to the Broken Universe thing, and then it just has played out by now.
Yeah, so they don't really do the broken stuff all that much. It's usually a special occasion when they're doing that. So, you know, the only good story that he's been involved in, and I don't count the Dudley Boy match as that, because that was just a single match. There was no obstacles in anybody's way. The Dudley Boys just wanted to do one last time, which was something that they did back in 2013. I think they'd already done that. They had a good story with the Nemeth brothers, where they were kind of like, while Nick Nemeth was on leave or on sabbatical or whatever, he went to Australia to take some dates and missed a bunch of TNA tapings. They kind of were like dismissing his little brother Ryan and kind of punking him a little bit. And they were doing it, telling Nick that, you know, hey, Ryan's not any good. We don't want to be his partner, like, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And when Big Brother comes back, there's this big match where Nick Nemeth and the Hardy Boys are teaming up in a cage. And in the match, like after the match was over, the Nemeth brothers then turn on the Hardy Boys. Like, that's actually a good story. And then the Nemeth brothers win the tag team titles. And they do it because Big Brother Nick, who's avenging his little brother, but doing it in a dickish way against these beloved Hardy Boys, does all the work and actually wins the titles almost single-handedly because his brother is actually shitty, which is what the Hardy Boys were saying in the first place. Like, your brother sucks, right? Like, that's a good story. And
that actually is a good story.
They couldn't finish the story because Nick kept taking indie dates outside of the TNA tapings. So they just had to like drop the whole thing. And like, so that's been like a major issue. God, with so TNA. Every time they have a good idea, they can never finish it. They can never follow through with it. So, you know, I said it on Thursday, I don't want to beat this with a dead horse. I'm going to get to the comments because I know there's a lot of comments, but Delirious either has to go or they got to get Delirious some help. Unfortunately, I know for a fact that he's completely, you're muted. He's safe, right? He's completely safe. Tommy Dreamer, also safe. They're going to have to bring in somebody to help him make things a little bit more interesting because it's so bland and paid by numbers what he does. And there's starts and stop pushes. And, you know, they need to get people on longer term deals because a lot of the reasons why they're having trouble telling the stories is because they don't have guys locked into long term deals. Like Nick Nemeth and Matt Cardona, you never know when they're going to show up because they're independent wrestlers. They're not beholden to TNA. They kind of come and go as they please, but they're two key figures on the show. So it's hard to tell these long-term stories with them. And then other people, you got Mance Warner, who does a great job. He signed like a 9-month deal. So it's like, are you ever really going to fully get behind a guy like Mance Warner and push the guy when he's not going to be around much longer? And then everybody else is selling, you know, they're doing 1-year deals. And then you get your occasional, like Eddie and Moose, they're not going anywhere. So they just keep re-signing these long deals. So they got to get that figured out. Hopefully the money is right to where they're going to be able to do that. And hopefully they can fight off AEW and WWE for some of their younger talent, which they have not. They're not going to be able to fight them off on all the talent, but hopefully they can fight off on some of the talent. And they got to get really creative on who they're bringing into the company. Over the weekend, they brought in Bear Bronson, which I thought was like, I'm interested in him. His AEW run didn't go well because his tag team partner got jammed up on some domestic violence stuff. So he's been doing indies and doing deathmatch stuff. He's in the company now. They screwed over MLW and signed the Andersons right from under them.
Sure. So, of course, not thrilled about that.
Yeah, CW Anderson actually looked good over the weekend, but that poor Brock Anderson, I don't know about that guy, man. You would think a guy that really wants to make it in wrestling and that really wants to get signed would at least be in some type of physical condition for a contract, but he came in so out of shape. I just felt bad for him. I was like, why is this guy wrestling? Like, this guy, you know, it's okay to be a little bit thick, right? Like, Bear Bronson's a big, thick guy, but you wouldn't call that guy out of shape. Brock Anderson's belly hangs out way further than it's supposed to, right? And I know that you guys might think I'm fat shaming, but these guys wrestle in their fucking underwear. Get in shape, right? It's ridiculous. So they brought him in, and then they actually brought in the Righteous over the weekend too. And I think the Righteous kind of fits in with TNA, and I think they fit in on AMC Network. I think that's a perfect fit.
I agree. I think the Righteous is a good fit. I think that it's funny because, like, I'll go back to Brock Anderson for a second. Arn was never, like, traditionally thought of as being, like, a great, you know, body guy. Motherfucker could go. Arn Anderson is one of the best in-ring talents of his generation, and he was in shape, and he can go. And we talked a couple weeks ago about the young people in AEW, how they have no incentive to do anything. And how, like, when they don't work hard, Tony's like, oh, okay, I'm just not going to use you. And that's what happens. And Brock Anderson was one of those guys. Brock was signed immediately. He went to work, but his ass didn't do a whole lot. And he's had an opportunity now to prove people wrong. And he's got a contract because his last name is Anderson. And you said yourself, he's not in great shape. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think that guy's got it. I don't think he's got the intestinal fortitude. I don't think he's tough enough to make it in this business. I don't think he's very good. Like, the only reason he's there is because he's Arn's kid. And it's, I mean, this is the wrestling business.
Right. And CW is there because, you know, like, Tommy Dreamer's talent relations. So I don't think they're signed by TNA, by the way. I think they're just bringing them in, giving them a shot. And from what I saw from Brock Anderson, I was like, yeah, I don't think this guy's ready.
But they should. TNA should do stuff like that. I have another thought on this. Is like, but I want to hit the Righteous up. I love the Righteous. I was a Righteous fan when they were an old Ring of Honor. Like, I love that. People are bagging on that theme music. I love that. I can rap on this. I think the Righteous are great. I was disappointed that the crowd in TNA did the Who Are You chant, which is kind of ridiculous because Vincent was in the company as part of Honor No More 3 years ago, which just goes to show you how much of the new TNA fan base comes from the WWE, you know, NXT relationship. It is super disappointing. And, like, they did treat the Righteous like they were a big deal. I thought it was a really cool intro package. They kept the music, which I love. I just I'm a little disappointed. Like, hold on a second. We got a comment. Mike's not here, so I got to do this on my own. Rollyboy 41 says, same, JD. I like Vincent from OG Ring of Honor. Yeah, old Vinny Marcellia was great. He was former. He had a big old feud with Matt Taven in the pandemic era of Ring of Honor. That Vincent, former member of the Kingdom, like, he's pretty good. I like his gimmick. Like, him and Dutch, the Righteous was good. I don't know what happened to Bateman. Bateman was the third member of the Righteous who kind of disappeared off the face of the earth. I don't know. Vincent's fine though. Like, someone says, what was this? Really worse. To be fair, Vincent wasn't presented much in TNA AEW. I mean, he wasn't there. They were there. Like, they were on the show.
Well,
I mean,
the Righteous did open up All In a couple years ago against Adam Cole and MJF. Now, it got universally shit on.
It sure did. But they were on the show. But while you were going on saying, it just shows that Vincent was in the company. I just said Vincent was in TNA as part of Honor No More just a few years ago. And a lot of these fans act like they didn't know who he was. That's just the way the fan base has transformed over the last couple of years.
Yeah, did you hear the chants that they were chanting, "Who are you?"
I'd say, "Who are you?" to these guys, which is super disappointing because they're really good. And I think that act can get over in TNA. But I mean, this is some WWE fan bullshit to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, man.
A year ago when Mance Warner happened, they debuted him like he was this big deal, and the audience had no idea who he was. And now, which is not surprising because it's Mance, and his only exposure was on MLW, really.
Right.
But I was surprised that they didn't know who the Righteous were. I think with this audience, because they're just, you know, a lot of them are just NXT casuals.
That's what I said.
I know there was TNA hardcores in the audience. I know those guys. Those guys knew exactly who the Righteous were. It's the people kind of like upper level folks that are just there to see the Hardy Boys and see chanting Stax Lorenzo. They don't really know anything outside of the WWE and now TNA bubble. And so I actually sent Vincent a DM because he and I follow each other. And I was just like,
you're so much more important than I am. It's full.
Yeah, I was like, dude, that debut was great. You know, go kill it. Keep it up. You know, kind of gave him some words of encouragement because I get the feeling that would like get to somebody. It's like, here you are thinking you're a fairly big star and you're debuting in a smaller promotion. And they just don't know who you are. They don't know who you are because they don't know what the fuck they're doing in that audience. So, but now he has an opportunity to get over. And I think that they're good enough to get over in TNA. I don't think that they were meant for AEW. Right. Like every talent isn't meant for every company. I don't think they would work on main roster WWE. I don't think they worked on AEW. I do think they will work in TNA though.
Weren't Vincent and Dutch signed by WWE for a minute and then got let go? Like they were going to be part of either Bray Wyatt something.
I think they got some friends in the media that reported that NXT was interested in signing them. So I think it's one of those deals, like Court Bauer standing outside of Viacom Studios type of deal.
Could be. I said I like the look. I like the presentation of the Righteous. Always have. I think they could fit in great in TNA. You know, I think it's a really good pickup for them. I was actually excited to see that because they didn't get a fair crack in AEW. Like, I don't think the problem is they're not really a great work rate team. And you got a guy like Dutch is there. Dutch is a big burly guy, but I mean, like, you've already got Brody King. Like, you know, like Brody King fills that role in the company that Dutch really could. And Vincent's a hard guy to kind of like program. Like, that's why their version of the Righteous in Ring of Honor was still kind of a weird fit. Cause I remember Lanza used to call him Balloon Guy because he used to walk around with a red balloon, like, you know, Pennywise. Yeah. And like, he doesn't really do that anymore. But like, it's still kind of a weird fit, this whole cultish thing. I think TNA could really do a good job with kind of seeing the Righteous through. I'm excited for that pickup.
Yeah, I'm excited. I thought the way that they debuted them, part of the reason why it was so cold is because they did it in a way where they expected everybody to know who they were, and they came out and just stared down the Hardy Boys, when in reality they probably should have just beat the shit out of the Hardy Boys, because then that would be like a hot way to start a feud. But instead they just stared them down, and people just weren't into it. And plus the Hardy Boys just had a fairly bad match with these two NXT kids, Tyreek Igwe and another guy who are good athletes, but they're just so green. And the Hardy struggled to pull a good match out of them. Now the crowd was hot for the match just because it is the Hardy Boys. And so like they're like the Rock and Roll Express, man. You pull those guys' hair and like the crowd's going to go ape shit on you as a heel. It's probably, when you're a heel wrestler, you probably want to wrestle the Hardy Boys because you don't have to do much. And you get tons of heat. And everybody ends up enjoying the match no matter what. But the match wasn't very good. Let's see. And Bear Bronson, I'm interested in him. JD, do you think that they got a shot at Jericho? Because there's been some rumors out there. There's been people talking out there suggesting Jericho. I personally think that if they have an opportunity to go get Jericho, I think that's the big splash you make, because you're on this bigger network and you need big stars. And right now, other than the Hardy Boys, they don't have any big stars. So, and I'm not saying like they have good wrestlers, but they don't have like major stars, right? Like there's a difference. And the biggest star in the company is Jeff Hardy, and he's in a tag team. So you need to make a big free agent splash. He's the guy that's on the market. You should go get him. But do you even think they got a hope in hell of getting that guy?
I don't see why Jericho would go there. I mean, like, what do you do with Chris Jericho in TNA? Like, I don't understand. Santana. It's true. Yeah. You know, you're right. There is a
story. I mean, the story is there, right? And he ain't got to sign Jericho for a long time. But if you really want to kick off this TV deal, you kick it off with Jericho confronting Santana, and then that's the big story for the year.
It's good. So that's good for Santana. I don't know if I'm Chris Jericho at this point. This is my you got to fear this is his last contract. I feel like this would be I've heard we saw rumors that the WWE has offered him a retirement pitch, and Chris Jericho has is really good at working the media. So if these rumors fly around, I imagine they're from Chris Jericho, and I think they're probably in existence because he talked about this before, how he had dinner with Dixie in 2007 to make sure that WWE signed him. Mm-hmm. So my vibe is that this is Chris Jericho doing Chris Jericho things, trying to make sure that that deal with the WWE comes back. So I feel like he feels not so much against Tony, but I think he takes it out on, I think he's a little bit bitter at some of the AEW fans that kind of shit on him the second half of his career. And he wants to prove to them specifically, not so much Tony, because Tony did a lot for him. But I think much like Cody, I think he's got a beef with some of those fans and trying to like prove it to him. Whereas in TNA, I don't know if you get that, you know, in WWE, if he goes back to WWE and has a great retirement run, I think he can kind of prove his point.
Yeah, but I think it's just like the big question is does Chris Jericho think he should retire? Right? Because WWE thinks that he should. AEW thought that he should. I think TNA would not think that. So
very clearly, if they have that, Jeff Hardy, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, if you're Chris Jericho, you know, do you want to be part of something on the upswing, which is TNA is seemingly on the upswing right now? And do you want to take credit for that success? You know what I mean?
I remember Chris Jericho doing that once before. So, yeah. I mean, I can absolutely see him wanting to do that. If the key is if and now people are saying, oh, Chris Jericho wants this. Chris, well, nobody fucking knows what Chris Jericho wants.
No.
I think Chris Jericho wants to do what Chris Jericho wants to do. I think he's going to have a hard time going back to WWE and doing what they tell him to do, because him and Triple H do not like each other. That is a true thing. Those are two guys who do not like each other. So Chris Jericho is going to have to swallow a lot of shit to go back. So I do think a lot of these rumors, like I'm talking myself into what Mike says a little bit. If the money is there, that's the thing. If the money is there and Jericho truly feels like he's got more in the tank, maybe you sign him for 6 months to a year.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you do that. And that way Jericho, like, what's the upside? Well, Jericho gets paid and he gets to take credit for some success. If Chris Jericho comes in, you're probably looking at some of the biggest box office that company's ever done. Right. Mm-hmm. And they're already on the upswing, and how did they get there before with some NXT talent and the Hardy Boys? Now you throw in Chris Jericho, you're probably going to get, you know, even better at that point. Whatever fake record they broke last year is going to get fake broken next year, and Chris Jericho's name is going to be at the top. I say all that to say I don't think it's happening. I don't think they got a hope in hell. I don't think they, even with this money, even if the rumored $10 million a year is, I don't. You're probably not going to give a sizable percentage of that to Chris Jericho to come in. Because
that's what it's going
to
cost. Like, you're talking about, let's say if you give Chris Jericho $1 million, that is 1/10 of your TV production money. Yeah. Like, you still don't have, like, $10 million is good for TNA, but you really don't have the kind of money to go get a free agent unless you have more money. And they're running smaller venues, but they only run them on occasion. You know, like, you're not generating a ton of money from your TV deal, from your live event stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you're having a hard time. I don't know, man. I would like to see it. Like, I kind of, now that I'm thinking about it, I do think it could be interesting, but I don't know, man. Yeah, I think WWE kind of needs Chris Jericho without John Cena, right? Mm-hmm. I think they could use a hook, because like they're not hurting, but I mean, like, the interest in the promotion is waning.
Yeah, once they lose John Cena, they're definitely gonna need some help. All right, I'm gonna get to the chat, and then I'm just gonna do a quick rundown of Final Resolution, and then we're gonna have to roll. So King of the North says, so you're bragging and Fortnite dancing. I don't know what Fortnite dancing is, but over an unconfirmed report, have some shame, brother. I'm wearing a Carlos Silva trucker hat. You think I got shame?
No shame.
They don't come here for shame. What's wrong with you, dude? Let's see, TNA already flexing the new TV deal with their shiny new cage. Yeah, so back in March when they ran El Paso, they did a cage match. Mm-hmm. And it legit looked like they stole somebody's fence out of their yard and just duct taped it together. It was the worst fucking looking cage, And they announced that the cage was returning in El Paso. And I kept tweeting, I was like, I hope it's the bad one. Hope it's the bad one. Well, unfortunately, much to my dismay, they actually spent money and bought a decent looking cage. So it actually is like kind of a nice cage.
Dude, the company that gave us six sides of steel needs to have a good looking cage. Oh, should they bring back the six sides?
No.
I think they should. I think it always gave TNA a distinct look. That was my personal opinion.
Yeah, Triple A went away from it, so they would be the only promotion in North America using the six-sided ring. For me personally, I thought it looked fucking stupid. and like when Hulk Hogan came out on TV and said, we're done with playpen rings, I was like, hell yeah, playpen. That's what I thought of it. But I do know that Jeff Jarrett's argument is that it got them on a toy shelves and it separated them from everybody else and they were different. I understand that. I never saw the appeal of the six-sided ring. I don't know. I'm old too, so that's probably why.
I'm older than you. I like the six sides, god damn it. Continue.
Yeah. The TNA AMC press release name drop Hulk Hogan and Sting. Well, I mean, one of those guys could appear. Jack Little Silver says, nothing is confirmed, but TNA wants to get AJ Styles on the premiere live episode. If there's,
I've heard that a fucking million times.
Yeah,
I've heard it so many times. Yeah. Well, AJ will do a thing for TNA. AJ will do a thing for TNA. It never happened.
Well, he showed up at Slammiversary this year, but he didn't wrestle. I don't think he's wrestling though.
No.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing that. Let's see. Well, I'm going, let's see. AEW's Continental Classic is a great example of how you can combine matches and story. The C2 is legitimately my favorite thing in wrestling. C2 is great.
C2 is great. I remember I saw a thing about the last episode of Dynamite having so many backstage promos. Thanks, Brian Alvarez, and always bitching. Why are there not enough videos? Why is there not enough packages? This is all your fault. This is your fault because you have a freaking guppy brain.
Yeah, TNA does need more video packages introducing their characters. That way their new talent doesn't get who are you chance. AEW's never really had that issue though.
That's true.
So I don't think so. My only problem with the C2 this year is that the unified title is not on the line. So they broke up the unified title and they only put the continental title on the line. Now I know it's the Continental Classic, but that doesn't make any goddamn sense to me. So and they could try to explain it, but I'm not going to let them have it. Sorry. No matter what they say. It's not going to please me. So
God is going to win it anyway.
Yeah. All right. Lots of stuff going on in the Hardys and Righteous wrestled on Collision once. Yeah, and the Righteous won. So maybe they'll bring that up at one point. Saying,
that happened. I forgot that happened.
I never watched it, but I'm sure that it happened. Let me go ahead and give a quick rundown of Final Resolution. I did get to watch the whole thing. It took me a couple of days. Cedric Alexander on the pre-show, it looks like he's in now. It looks like he's, I don't know if he's signed, but he's winning a lot of matches and he's on every show. So Cedric Alexander defeated Eric Young on the pre-show. And then the system, so JDC is retiring and they're trying to pick his replacement. So the system called out, did an open challenge, and they were answered by Bear Bronson and Brock and CW Anderson. And they pinned Brock Anderson to get the victory there. So that's where I was like, Brock Anderson now look good. Main card, Mike Santana defeated Charlie Dempsey by pinfall. This Charlie Dempsey kid gets a rough time. He's really good. I don't know. I know that people don't like his dad because apparently he hurt Tony Khan's feelings, but Charlie Dempsey's really fucking good. I don't know why people bag on this kid.
I think probably just because he seems to get a lot of opportunities to go around places, which is good because once he gets on the main roster, can't get to get booked. He's not big. How's his personality? Last time I saw him, he didn't have a ton of it.
You know what? I just watched the match and so I haven't seen any of his promos, so I couldn't speak to his personality. So,
I don't
watch NXT, but he's been in TNA twice and I've enjoyed him twice. So
I saw him the last couple times I saw him in Noah. I quite enjoyed his work. So I think he's pretty good. I don't know. People get mad about, they pick their favorite billionaire to protect.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I mean, like Regal's a bad guy because he got out of his AEW deal to go back and work for his friend. Right. I don't know. Like he's friends with Triple H for 30 years. What's he supposed to do? I don't know. The Inspiration defeated Tessa Blanchard and Victoria Crawford. Victoria Crawford's Alicia Fox, right? It's a tag team created so that way people stop chanting, "You're a racist at Tessa." And that's me being nice, okay? But that's why they're doing it. So anyway, they lost. Robert Stone, now Robbie E, is now their manager. So there you go. Matt Cardona defeated Mance Warner in a street fight. It was actually a pretty good match. I like Mance Warner. I've always liked Mance Warner.
Me too.
There was no blood, but it was like, you know, it was a really fun match.
The only bad part
was the commentary.
Matt Cardona and Mance Warner wrestled with no blood. That's like shocking to me.
Yeah. Well, TNA only does blood on special occasions. So they put a moratorium on blood usage because they're trying to get sponsors. And so they did like three blood matches in a row last year. And Steve Macklin, like, you can't give a Marina razor blade and expect him not to fuck himself up. Like, that's just common knowledge.
I do remember that Macklin match. That was
The
pictures afterwards was crazy.
And he was bleeding a gusher. And so Carlos Silva was like, guys, we're taking a break on blood. So they took a break over the summer, and then they brought up Mike Santana was bleeding a gusher at Bound for Glory. So they'll do it for the like big shows. So and then we get to Channing Stacks Lorenzo with one Lexus King as his manager, defeated Steve Macklin by pinfall to win the TNA International Championship.
Channing Lorenzo is the worst fucking name, and it sounds so bullshit. Channing Lorenzo, as an Italian American, yeah. I ain't never met a paisan with the name of Channing.
No, I think they're trying to invoke the name of Channing Tatum, the guy from the movies with Jonah Hill. What are they called?
21 Jump Street.
Yeah, 21. I think Channing, but they still want him to be like a paisan, so they gave him the last name Lorenzo. So
Channing Lorenzo is the worst fucking Italian name I've ever heard in my life. Italian grandmother is rolling in her grave, and she was Irish.
Yeah. So here, let's get to this. This obviously, Steve Macklin losing the title is an abomination. But what I will say is I understand the story that they're telling. And the story plays out over the weekend. I did read the spoilers, and I'm not going to give the spoilers away. But once the story plays out, like, it ends up making sense, right? And they've been connecting the dots back in NXT with some matches that he was able to get there. And the commentary during the match dropped Easter eggs, like, as they're starting to come to the epiphany of what is happening within the story. So after it plays out on TV, I'll go ahead and explain it. I get the story. It's a mid-card title. Steve Macklin should never lose because that's my guy, especially to a fucking nerd like Channing Tatum. Channing Lorenzo, yeah. But I got the story that they're trying to tell. And TNA also, let's see. NXT won't let TNA get a clean sweep, I guess. Yeah, so TNA won every other match that was against NXT that night, and so they threw them a bone. So there you go. But it's part of a bigger overall story, and I think Stax is coming to TNA once he gets fired anyway. Him and his fiance. His fiance is Santino's daughter. Santino's daughter is also on the show, and it's kind of like the liaison between NXT, and she's been a babyface, but there's been some questionable things happening since her fiance is a heel on TNA television. So we'll leave it at that. But it's a part of an overall story. So there you go. Knockouts champion Laying Lee defeated Zaya Brookside by pinfall. I thought that was pretty good. Match of the weekend, I think I didn't watch Collision, but I think this could compete with anything that was on Ring of Honor, to be honest with you. It was the Rascals, Trey Miguel, Zachary Wentz, Myron Reed, and Desmond Xavier defeating the Order 4, which is Mustafa Ali, John Skyler, Jason Hotch, and Special Agent Zero. In a 4-on-4 match, and it was fucking awesome. it was fantastic.
I'm not watching, so who's Special Agent Zero?
He's just this big jacked up dude from Canada named Bill Collier. He's like shredded, bro. He's like 6'4" and shredded. And come to find out, he's 45 fucking years old.
Hey, all right.
Yeah, but this is his first chance on television, and he's killing it. He looked great in that match.
Good for him.
Yeah. I'm happy for the guy. I was like, where did you guys find this guy? How come he hasn't been on TV for 20 years?
That's Bill Collier. Name's really familiar, actually. I don't know why.
Yeah, EPW said Bill Collier, he wrestles in my area. Like, where? Okay, why didn't you tell me about him sooner? Like, why am I just now finding out this guy rules?
Cool. Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, yeah. So during the match, like at the end of the match, Mustafa Ali left his team hanging because he is chicken shit.
Because he's chicken shit, yeah.
And he's was confronted by Elijah, who was riding a horse. He lassoed Mustafa Ali, tied him up and then drug him out of the arena on horseback, like by his legs, like old school, like style. And I'll be honest, like the match had a billion different pops from all the big high flying moves they did. At one point, Myron Reed did a flying diamond cutter off the top rope onto the people waiting down on the floor.
I saw that. It looked good.
Yeah, it was great. Like, tons of pops. The biggest pop of the night was Mustafa Ali getting lassoed, getting hogtied, and drug out of the arena on horseback by Elijah. So there you go. But that's pro wrestling, I guess. And then the Hardys had a pretty bad match with High Rise, Tyson DuPont and Tyreek Eague. It was like, if you watch it without the sound on, it's terrible. But if you watch it with the sound up, the crowd's still going apeshit for it. So I guess it's not that bad. But the Hardys won, and then they were immediately confronted by the Righteous, who got a chance of who are you, but they'll find out soon enough. In another really good match, Leon Slater defeated AJ Francis with a Rich Swann by pinfall to retain the TNA X Division title. Story of this match, Leon Slater selling the whole time because AJ Francis is a big monster. At one point, AJ Francis was trying to get Rich Swann to cheat. Rich Swann refused to cheat, so he shoved Rich Swann down. And then the referee grabbed AJ Francis, and AJ got in her face. She's a female referee. Started bullying her. There's a YouTube kid that also wrestles. He beat the shit out of the YouTube kid. And so he's bullying everybody out there. And then at one point, AJ is telling Rich Swann to hit Leon Slater with the belt. And the referee is like, if you hit Leon Slater, he's going to get disqualified. And then Rich Swann just kind of looks at the referee, gives her the nod. And then she does this thing. She covers her eyes with her hands, turns her back. And then Rich Swann fucking clocked AJ Francis. And then Leon Slater hit his 450 Swanton finish for the victory. So there you go. But it was a pretty good match with some shenanigans, obviously.
Yeah.
And then main events, Frankie Kazarian defeated JDC. Not a very good match. Shenanigans, but he beat him with the crossface chicken wing. All right. So that was Final Resolution, everybody. An okay show, some good matches, some pretty bad matches. So if you want to go out of your way to check that out, that's feel free. But that was the last TNA Plus special of the pre-AMC era. So going to be big on January 15th, TNA comes to AMC. The only downside, JD, is they're moving to 9 p.m. So 9 to 11, which means...
Ooh, that's late.
Yeah, I'm not staying up to do podcasts at 11 p.m. That's just not going to happen. But I will do it on the first one, but I'm not doing it again after that. I just can't. I can't do it. I get up at 5 in the morning. I just can't do that shit. So we'll figure out a different schedule for Brace for Impact. But JD, you got any parting words of wisdom for the audience?
Hold your horses on this Netflix WB thing. We got a long way to go to figuring out what's going to happen. Pro wrestling is so unimportant to this whole thing.
Yeah.
We need to kind of relax.
Yeah. And again, to all of my haters out there, especially the haters who are going to be hating on me for wearing this Carlos Silva trucker hat, more specifically, the bosses at Voices of Wrestling who are going to find out about this and make fun of me and probably talk shit. I'm not going to like tell them I did this, but like if they listen, they'll find out. No, I'm sure one of the snitches in the Discord will tell them, but
snitches.
They both hate this hat so much. And I was like, okay. I always said that if they got a TV deal, I'd buy the Carlos Silva trucker hat. And then they did it. It was like, fuck. So I checked, and TNAmerch.com, you can use PayPal. And I was like, well, I still have money from the podcast. So I bought it.
Wow. You use podcast money on that. Well, I guess it is a prop. So
I didn't want to tell my wife that I was buying a TNA trucker hat.
I completely understand. I would.
So if I use a credit card, she's like, what's TNAmerch.com? I had to explain it. It's not tits and ass merch. It's just wrestling merch, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So. Still not a great name company, but the word, as we've talked about, the words TNA don't quite mean what they used to.
Yeah. Yeah. You and I are the only ones that think that. So, all right, guys, that's going to do it for us this time. And until next time, mahalo. I hit the wrong button. Sorry.
Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no rain.
That was a fun show.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.